Praise God. Okay, well, we're going to continue this morning with our series on Ephesians. And the next couple of weeks, we're going to be focusing on our walk with God. Now, I've lived in my house now for about, I think it's about 7 years. My wife might correct me, but I think it's about 7 years. She's nodding, so I've done okay. And we decided last month, after 7 years of doing nothing to the lounge, that it was time to decorate. And it looked tired and it looked dated, and we had shiny yellow paint on the walls and tired kind of light fittings and fixtures and a very frayed carpet. And we thought, you know, it's time to do it. Now, to do that, because we went all out in this refurbishment and done a bit of everything, we had to lift all the furniture out of the lounge. That's sofas, TV units, etc. Now, me and Claire lifting big stuff together is quite a sight, because there is a height difference, as you may well be aware. So when you're lifting up large sofas, that can be fairly entertaining. And not only is there a height difference, there is a strength difference. And before anyone gets clever and says, yes, she's much stronger than you, okay. There is a height difference, there is a strength difference, as you can naturally tell from the what you're looking at today. And sorry about that. But it gets all rather frustrating and tense, shall we say, when we are lifting large items. And so the other day, we're removing the large three-piece sofa from the lounge. It's got to go to the van. It's got to go to the tip because it was in such a poor state. I remember when we bought it, our children, for some reason, when they were little, decided it would be a good idea to lick the sofa. And so there was areas that had worn off and that. And we cut the bottom and found about 200 hair bobbles in there. Found a quid. How many people know it's always good when you find a quid in the sofa? And, you know, so this was all kind of going on. And now, it took a fair while for Claire just to get this said item up off the floor and at her end. And once it was up off the floor, we were carrying it round the outside of the house. And my kind of theory is you don't stop. If it starts getting heavier, you just go faster, you know. So it's not, so you don't stop, do you? You know, as you're carrying it, it's just like, it's getting heavy. Just go quicker, you know. And so it's like this. And I start to hear the odd groan and noise that's emerging from the other end of the sofa. And I'm going to put it down. I'm like, don't put it down, don't put it down. And in the end, she's like, I've got to put it down. I can't carry it any further. And so she puts the three-piece sofa down. It's stop-start. It's taken ages. And it's a little bit frustrating. Of course, I'm very gracious and understanding at this point in time. And rather than opting for the, no problem, babe, I'll bear with it, I go for the line that went something more like this. You're joking! Oh, blimey, come on. You know, like, I just want to get it done. And then these words come from Claire's mouth. I'm sorry, I'm just not strong enough. Okay? I'm just not, yeah, I know. Yeah. The bully preacher this morning's up in the pulpit. His poor wife on the front row. Now, this feeling of weakness that Claire had at this point in time, it created a kind of frustration for her and a disappointment. And she felt like she was letting me down and, you know, and everything like that. And it created that frustration and disappointment for her and for me. And because she felt limited by her lack of strength. And so she couldn't fulfill or see come to pass the task. She couldn't see it all the way through. And so that limitation she was acutely aware of. Now you think, why am I telling this story? Because I think Sofa Saga, in some ways, everyone can feel a little bit like that in our relationship and our walk with God. Now let me explain what I mean by that. We all have areas of weakness in our life. Not just me, is it, this morning? We all have weaknesses in our lives. And that may look a little different for each one of us. This is not an exhaustive list, but a few examples. Your area of weakness may be a particular insecurity that you have, a certain way of thinking about yourself or about others. It might be worry or anxiety. It might be certain issues or hang-ups. It could be that your area of weakness is you just seem to be very easily offended or easily distracted or easily discouraged, or you're not very self-disciplined, or you tend to kind of give up. How many people know that some people can look very altogether and strong on the outside, and yet on the inside feel quite weak and vulnerable? I know, because I'm pretty good at that. And, you know, no, it's all fine. And actually, because it's hard to admit when you're struggling, and actually pride always wants to drive you on. No, I can do this, I've got this. And it's not a nice place to be when you feel like that. And so what often happens is we get so far and things feel like they're going quite good maybe in our walk with God. And then we start quite well or we get going, and then these familiar struggles begin to kick in. These kind of areas of weakness. I start to feel my weakness. I start to feel like this insecurity or this way of thinking all of a sudden is rising up again about myself or others, my worry or my anxiety or my, you know, my issue or whatever it might be. And or I get kind of easily offended or easily distracted and so on. And so I begin to feel like I'm going with God. And then why is it these areas of weakness? They begin to kind of rear their head. And as we're trying to do this life, and being a Christian can be tough. And we go, I'm just not strong enough. I just don't seem to be able to get to where I want to get to. I don't be able to see this sort of thing come to pass. I want to go further than I'm going. But why does this familiar weakness, this familiar struggle kind of kick in? Do you know the enemy will always attack you at your weakest point? He will never try and kind of hit you where you're strong. Never goes for where you're strong. He'll always go at your weakest point. And friends, our biggest battles are often our internal ones. You know, the ones that are going on inside of us. And so what happens is this area of weakness or this struggle or this vulnerability that I kind of acutely aware of in my life, it becomes like a continual frustration for me or kind of like disappointment or a limitation. And so we feel a bit like Claire carrying the sofa. You know, things with God, even life as a whole, they feel a bit kind of stop-start. I seem to be able to get so far, and then this familiar struggle or weakness kicks in. And so my walk with God feels a bit up and down. I don't seem to be able to keep going like I want to keep going. Now, I want to encourage you today from Ephesians that you can grow and become stronger. Now, when I say that, this is not a hit the gym type of message. This is not a pull your socks up and try harder kind of message. I remember once being in a very weak, vulnerable place and you know, sitting under the sound of a message which it was basically, and you know, I'm sure we're going to say, you know, push harder, try more, you know, kind of more kind of effort. And I remember just feeling an utter mess as I kind of, because I was on my life, I feel weak, so how can I even do this? It's not an external strength that we need. So it's not a kind of, you know, that outer strength that we're looking for. Friends, to keep going in God, in this walk with God, to go through those tough times, to fulfill what God has for us to do, to see all that he has in his heart for us come to pass, actually what we need is an internal kind of strength. And the Bible talks about this, and this is what we're going to look at together in a moment. I'm going to explain what this kind of inner strength that comes from God, that is not something you have to find within yourself, but is able to help you to keep persevering, face every trial, push through, keep going, not give up, go further than you've been before, see what God has for you come to pass. That's the type of strength we're looking at, a spiritual strength that comes from God that the Bible says gets to work on the inside of us. Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 21. It's entitled, A Prayer for Spiritual Strength. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened. Now, in the Greek, that means to increase in strength, to grow stronger, with power through his Spirit. Read this with me, would you please? In your inner being. In your inner being. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now, a few different versions say, put it like this. God can empower you with inner strength. Okay? Passion Translation says this. There is a supernatural strength that floods your innermost being. Okay, the message says it's not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength. Can you just give me a wave if you are up for becoming stronger on the inside this morning? Praise God. Now, what is this inner being thing all about? What does it actually mean? Well, if I'm teaching you to suck eggs, forgive me, but if this is helpful, praise God. The Bible talks about the outer man and the inner man. Okay, now the outer man is simply what you see. And we're not talking about growing stronger out here. You know, we're not praying for God to make our muscles bigger, although that might be nice. But we're not praying for that. The Bible also talks about our inner man. Now, in the Barnes commentary, the inner man is defined as this: your heart, your mind, and your soul. In other words, it's the very core of who you are. We're talking about a core strength. You know, you hear that sometimes, don't you? You know, when you go to the gym, we need to build your core, strengthen your core. And so it's not a prayer for this outer strength, but that there is a strength that comes from God into the deepest part of who you are. Into the very core of who you are, there is this resource available to you. And it means that God strengthens you in your heart, in your mind, and in your soul. Paul says God can make you stronger there. I want to be stronger in heart. You know, stronger in your mind. I want to be stronger at the core of who I am. So that actually, as we do in this life, there's this kind of core strength, this spiritual, supernatural strength that's helping me at my core, at the deepest part of who I am, to keep going. To sustain me, no matter what I'm facing. Ephesians 3 verse 16 in the New Living Translation tells us the inner strength is supplied by God or from or out of his glorious and, quote, unlimited resources. Unlimited resources. Do you know that God is never out of stock of supernatural strength for you? It's not like when you go to order something in Argos and it's out of stock. You say, oh no, God, I'll have to come back next week and try again. Or, you know, maybe it can be delivered in a few days' time or whatever. You know, God is never out of stock. That means if you need it, there is a strength to bear that trial, to face that challenge, resist that temptation, resist the devil, hold on, live a life full of faith, do what he's called you to do at home, in church, and in serving him, to bear your cross, to glorify his name, to come through that pain, that offense, that misunderstanding, that battle, that tough time. There is strength that comes from God. Do you know, I could name people, but I just thought, you know, I just thought, even as I thought about church, I thought there are people who I would just love to, you know, honor who have proven this in their lives. You know, how God has brought them through really kind of tough times as well. And they're still here and they're still praising God and they're still going. You know, Harry and Dorothy, I want to honor you this morning. You know, Harry's 97 next weekend and they've been married for 73 years. You know, wow, yeah. I guarantee, friends, there would have been moments when they had to bear a trial, face a challenge, resist a temptation, hold on, keep living this life of faith, do what he's calling them to do, bear their cross, glorify. There would have been times they had to come through pain and offense and misunderstanding and battles and tough times. You know what? They're still here, they still love Jesus, and they're still burning strong for him. Praise God. And some of you, you know, you might not be 97, but you've already lived through some of this stuff and you're saying, do you know what? There is this strength. God, you're still here. Praise God, you're still here. You're still here. There may be times with tears streaming down your face when you've lifted your hands and said, God, I don't get it, but you're still here. God is sustaining you and keeping you. There is a strength that the Bible says here, it comes in. That's a big word, in. Because in verse 16, that word in, it means into, or it means to infuse. So it's literally like God can infuse, inject this strength into you, into your heart and mind and soul. It's in stock, it's available. Philippians 4 verse 13 says what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things. The Amplified version there says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. So how important is it that we receive this, this inner strength that Paul's praying for us for? Well, when he wrote this letter in Ephesians, he was in a prison cell in Rome. And in this prison cell, apparently you can actually visit today what was supposed to have been Paul's jail cell. And it's essentially a hole in the ground. And it's like a stack 'em up system. There's a space, a grate, and then the next prisoner on the grate, a space. Do you get the impression, you know? Dun, like that kind of thing. And basically, there's no running water. There's no toilet facilities. There's nothing like that. And so what that means is this, that the deeper you are in the hole, the worse it's going to be. Because anything that happens above you is going to come down upon you. Right? Now, it's said, it's believed that Paul was somewhere near the bottom of that hole. Imagine that. Cramped, dark, dingy, disgusting, everything like that. He's a man who, according to the Bible, it had been beaten. He'd known what it was to be beaten, shipwrecked, homeless, left for dead, beaten within an inch of his life. Bible actually says, I bear the marks of Jesus in my body. The scars, the scars of this. And he says, in this dark, dingy, horrible place, he says here, I am down on my knees praying for the church. And the church is the people. He says, I am on my knees. For this reason, he says, I bow my knee. I'm down on my knees. And imagine how hard that would be just to get down there, how broken his body might have been, how cramped it might have been, knowing the history of his life and the location where he was. He says, I am down on my knees praying for this. You say, well, is that significant? Yes, because you've probably heard it before. Jews normally stood to pray, arms upwards. And if you knelt to pray, that meant two things. It meant I am desperate, and it meant I am totally dependent. It was a position of humility. I cannot do this, but God can, and I recognize that. And I am utterly desperate. And he's saying, I am utterly desperate for the people of God to receive this kind of strength into their core, into their being. And he says, I'm totally dependent upon God for this. It's an absolute work of God. You cannot find this type of strength anywhere else. It comes by a work of the Holy Spirit. It says there in verse 17, just at the beginning, why is God desperate for this? For us, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now you say, now this is, just need to be clear here. This isn't talking about salvation. Paul is writing to the church. He's writing to a people who, you know, we often use that phrase in church, don't we? Like, have you accepted Jesus into your heart? This isn't a have you accepted Jesus into your heart kind of issue. Okay, but he's praying this about that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. That word dwell unlocks the whole thing. Because that word there, in its original language, it means to settle, to inhabit, and to reside. So you could say the language here is home. The New Living Translation says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts. You see, what is this trying to say to us? I believe it's trying to say this. When our walk with God feels very up and down, our relationship was very up and down, you know, it feels very stop-start, like it kind of gets going but doesn't get going and like that. It's almost like Christ can't really settle. But for Christ to really work in us and through us like he wants to, he's saying we need to make our heart, our lives, a home for him. Now, I just want you to think for a moment, just to try and help us to understand this and what he's saying. I just want you to think for a moment about the difference between a home and a hotel. There's a big difference between a home and a hotel. I said earlier we've been decorating our lounge. Now, when we wanted to decorate our lounge and fill all those cracks and get rid of that nasty yellow paint, etc., and, you know, skim that ceiling and get rid of that Artex and repair stuff, we didn't like it. It needed doing, and we felt totally ease and peace about designing it and decorating it just how we wanted it to be, to make it feel like home. We didn't have to seek anyone's permission or ask anyone like that. We felt at ease and at peace because it's home. We didn't need permission. Now, in a few weeks, we're at a conference just for a night in Southampton with School of Ministries and Peter Butt. Now, imagine if I walk into that hotel room and I think, do you know what? I don't like the color. I don't like the curtains. I don't like the carpet, and I don't like those light fittings. I'm not going to say to Claire, hey, babe, before we do anything, jump in the car. We're going down B&Q. Let's get some paint and let's change them walls. Let's get a new carpet and some light fixtures and fittings and all that. Oh, actually, by the way, the tap is dripping. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just get some tools and I'll replace it. To be honest, I probably couldn't. Wow. Oh, how they mock. I was going to say, to be honest, I probably couldn't anyway. I'd have to ring Tim. So it's a long drive to Southampton. I won't tell you all the things he's had to help me sort out in my lounge, but why not? Because it's a hotel. Well, I don't feel at ease with peace with doing that in a hotel, and I'm not going to stay there anyway. It's my home, so if it's horrible, I'm going home tomorrow. Now, when we pray for and receive this strength that comes from God via the Holy Spirit, the whole goal here is that Christ begins to feel at home in our hearts, okay? And that's because we're saying, God, I want to walk with you. I don't want things to be so up and down. I want to be stop-start. You know, I want to see areas of weakness that I struggle with. I don't want to see them things keep derailing my relationship, my walk with you. I don't want my life to feel a bit like a hotel. I want my heart to be a home, not a hotel. Now, what I'm saying is this. I don't want it to just be a case that my walk with you is like, Jesus, just check in from time to time. You know, usually when I've got a crisis, come on in, I need your presence, sort it out, decorate things, make things look good, and then I move on with my life or whatever, or something happens, and then it's like, check out until the next time I need to call you. Does this make sense? You know, I need you, Jesus, come check in. Because, friends, Jesus wants to dwell in your life, not just visit from time to time. And the point is, he can't really get to work in and through your life if your heart's like a hotel. But if it's a home, it's a different matter. There's an ease and a peace. And funny things have happened since we decorated one room. It's like it's helped to see what other things need to be done. Don't you find that? You paint your gloss on one side and you think, that's white. And you look the other side and think, whoa, that's yellow. You see those cracks or whatever. And step by step, we're saying, do you know what? We want to do this now and we want to do that. Because we've seen an amazing transformation in one room, and it's inspired us to want to embrace that transformation in other areas in our house. When Jesus feels settled in your heart, it's like that. He gets to work in one room. He says, we just need to deal with this issue. We need to strengthen this. We need to change this. And do you know what he says? And now he says, I'm going to move into another room. And we're going to do it. And then you just find throughout your lives, there's like this constant renovation project going on. Something comes up, you think, where did that come? I didn't even know that was an issue in my life. Jesus says, well, I just hadn't got to that room yet. Been working in that room. Now I'm coming to that room. But he's got to feel at home for that to happen. And so, friends, in Christ, I am changed. And in Christ, I am changing. You know, when your heart's at home, he's continually working in us and through us. And we want to grow strong because we want our heart to be at home. We don't want this walk that where he can't settle. Because he wants to dwell. People say that sounds a bit scary, like God renovating my life. No, it's always, no one ever renovates their house for the worst, do they? Let's decorate that room and make it look worse. No, we do it for the better. So does he. And so Christ brings about this amazing transformation and change in you and in your life. Praise God. You know what? God loves children. Amen. And so do I. Amen. Praise God. I'd rather hear that cry, friends, than be in a church where you don't hear it at all, let me tell you. By the Holy Spirit, Christ both wants to and can bring about this amazing transformation and change in you and in your life. So, number one, make your heart home. And there's only 2 points to this before I conclude. Number two, you've got to root yourself in the right stuff. Verse 17, Paul says that he prays that we would be rooted and grounded in love. You know, when you plant something, and I don't do a lot of that, but when you plant something and you want it to become stronger, you understand roots are vital to growth. The strongest trees and plants have good roots, right? The roots run deep. They're well rooted. So how strong my walk with God is really depends upon where I've put my roots down. You know, some people root themselves in their job. Or they root themselves in their relationship or in their friendships or even in their children or in money or in approval or in pleasure or even in sympathy. And what happens is they're the things that feed us. And so we depend upon them. We root ourselves in that they seem to give us our meaning and our value. And, you know, when they're good, they seem to sustain us. And when they're missing, we feel a bit like, oh, all over the place. But Paul says here, to grow strong in God, you need to be rooted in the love of God. And he means in truth and in experience. So it's not just, I know Jesus loves me, but to grow stronger in God, I need to be continually experiencing the love of God. Continually experiencing it in my life. Coming up 19 years ago, I married Claire. When I married Claire, I knew she loved me. But you know what? Now I know she loves me because I've experienced it over and over again. And it's as a Christian experiencing the love of God that makes us stronger. Friends, whenever I've been at my weakest or lowest ebbs, and I've felt like I'm struggling or going under or crumbling on the inside, every time it has been a fresh encounter with Jesus and a fresh flow of the love of God into my life that has given me strength to rise up and say, hey, I can go again. I can go again. That love strengthens me. And Paul says you have to be rooted in it and grounded in it. It means it has to be a foundation. You can't build a good building on weak foundation. A strong building needs good foundations. A strong Christian life is built on knowing and experiencing God's love. And Paul prays here that we have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth of it. And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. That's, just say that with me. That surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. How do you know something that surpasses knowledge? You know, it was prayed in the early morning prayer. It's when you know in your knower, as you hear people say. Now, what do we mean by that? It means that how do you know something that surpasses knowledge? The simplest way I can put it is this, friends. You've got to experience it. When you experience God's love, when you experience it, now I know in Manoah, God, the love of God. I have to enjoy it. There's a place where it has to go beyond just mere knowledge. The message says this: I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all the followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. You know, I'm just about done, but I want to say, people say, how do I experience the love of God? You tell me God loves me. How do I experience this? I sat thinking about this week. God, how do I answer that question? I felt Jesus just simply said this to me. It's like any loving relationship. In the giving of yourself, you always receive. When I give myself to my wife or vice versa, there's a love. I say this carefully. There's a love exchange, if you like. Sometimes people are like saying, like, I ain't going to sing, I ain't going to pray, I ain't going to raise my hands. You know, I'm going to rush off or whatever. I don't feel the love of God. You know, where is God? Friends, in the giving of yourself, you begin to feel a love exchange. God's saying, I love you. But as you learn to give yourself and you begin to sing or raise your hands or lift your voice, you begin to flow. This love exchange begins to happen. And you begin to experience the love of God. Sometimes, you know, you can be in church. I don't feel like God loves me. Friends, begin to sing. Let God begin to touch your emotions. Stop holding back. If you hold back, you know, if I'm holding back, do you notice that? You know, when you hold back, you just don't feel like the love's flowing, do you, in a relationship? But in the giving of yourself, your greatest need and your greatest strength comes from knowing God loves you and experiencing that love. Paul says you've got to comprehend it. It means you've got to grasp it. It means you've got to take hold of this for yourself. Someone can keep telling you till the cows come home that God loves you. You've got to reach out and take a hold of this for yourself and grasp it for yourself. Why? Band, could you just come back? Amplified version 19 says this, that you may be filled throughout your being to all the fullness of God. So that you may have the richest experience of God's presence in your lives, completely filled and flooded with God himself. Oh man, that sounds good to me. The richest experience of his presence in my life, filled and flooded with God himself. And then comes that line, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or think or imagine, some versions say in verse 20. See, I just want to highlight something to you that God just said to me this week. The basic end of the thought of that is this. Whatever you ask God for, whatever you can think of, God can do far more. That's the kind of the train of thought. But do you know what God said to me? Don't miss the word within. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work, where? Within us. See, we're often thinking about seeing the power of the Holy Spirit released in the world around us. We want to see God. But let me tell you, friends, God can do far more than you can ask, think, or imagine inside of you. So when you're going, I'm not strong enough, and I wish I was stronger, and I don't know how I'm going to keep getting through this, and I keep on dropping the sofa, the Holy Spirit can do far more in you than you can ask or think or imagine. In you, within you, in your life, in your inner man, in your heart, in your mind, and in your soul. And if we somehow begin to comprehend this and pray for this supernatural strength, let me tell you, friends, testimony is going to begin to emerge. Testimony is going to begin to emerge. And they're going to go something like this. I never knew I could see this. I never knew I could do this. I never knew I could cope like this. I never knew I could be as fruitful as this. I could be as loving as this. I could be as anointed as this. I never knew I could be this good a husband or wife or mom and dad. Friends, make your heart a home. Band, do you want to just begin to play? I don't know what song you've got. I can't. But, you know, just begin to play. Make your heart a home. So I want to say to you this morning, you want to grow stronger in God? Make your heart a home. Root yourself in the truth and experience of his love, and you will grow stronger in him. There are rooms in all of our lives right now as we finish. There are rooms in all of our lives where he wants to start working. Open up the door. Come on, open up the door. Let that love exchange begin to happen. Give yourself to him. Spend that time with him. Sing that song to him. Raise your hands to him. Allow him begin to touch your emotions. Allow him in and say, Jesus, my heart is a home. Come on in. Come on into this room. Come on into this area of weakness in my life, this insecurity that I keep struggling with, this wrong way of thinking that causes me to keep dropping the sofa whenever it kicks in, this struggle that I'm having inside of me. Come on in. And he begins to change things and he begins to empower you. You say, is this even possible? Yes. Change is possible because the Holy Spirit in you is powerful. And what's the reason for it all? Why? Close my Bible too early, look. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Why become stronger? Why make your heart a home? Why root yourself in the love of God? That Jesus would be glorified in you and in his church. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Why don't we do this? Why don't we just close? Look, we've got 4 minutes. Why don't we close by just opening up the rooms of this home to Jesus? Why don't we stand to our feet right now in God's presence? And maybe you might just need to just... You might just want to say, Lord, I'm just going to lift my hands. Whatever it looks like to begin to open your heart up to him, you might just want to have that little conversation with him right now. Come on in, Jesus. Maybe you feel like you've been living like your heart's a hotel. And it's just like Jesus is checking in a bit from time to time. You want a richer, fuller experience of his presence in your life. And you might just say, Lord, turn it from a hotel to a home. It's not a salvation issue. You're already... accepted him into your life. Is he settling there? Is he residing there? Is he dwelling there? Are you experiencing his love and his power and his presence in your life? Let him today begin to make you stronger. Oh Lord, come into that room of insecurity. Come into that room, that issue. Come into that room of anxiety. Come into that room of offense. Come into that room of pain or disappointment. Come on in, Jesus. This is your home. get to work, decorate things, change things, transform me from the inside out. Hallelujah. Let's sing to Him.